Episode 257.
The loyalty that happens when you create a brand where people trust you, where they walk in the shop and the shop is clean, the restrooms are clean, the people are wearing uniforms, there's a consistency in the story they tell people, there's a consistency how they test drive the vehicles, all of that stuff makes such a huge difference in the long run of your business. And so what we see is those A shops, as I call them, out there who've done this work are seeing their businesses boom, because right now, due to the lack of new people coming to industry, existing shops are in an amazing position to make money and to grow.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, automotive aftermarket professionals, to episode 257 of Remarkable Results Radio. In this episode, you'll meet Tom Marks, MAAP, from the Marks Group and Hart Marks Advisors. Carm Capriato here, helping aftermarket professionals achieve their own remarkable results through learning from the stories you'll find here in the Aftermarket's premier podcast. This episode is presented by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They are the reason you enjoy these great aftermarket interviews. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. And thanks for your support of these brands. As the podcast grows each week with new listeners, so do my social connections. So glad to welcome new Facebook friends Darren Shackelford, Hannah Kennedy, and Tom Craig. And new LinkedIn connections Stephanie Beeman, Brian L. Duffy, and Garrick Kopiak. It's so easy to connect with the podcast. Just go to remarkableresults.biz/social, and you'll find every link to get connected. Now, every podcast episode has their own show notes page. For this episode with Tom Marks, go to remarkableresults.biz/E257. There you'll find additional bio information and the episode talking points. Hey, keep in mind that each week we do a live Town Hall Academy at 12 noon Eastern. We take a single subject and invite aftermarket professionals passionate to discuss the topic. To find all of these episodes cataloged and on demand for your edification, find the archive at remarkableresults.biz/academy. There's no other resource like it in the industry. It is a great place to come for shared wisdom from your aftermarket colleagues. The link to the live weekly webcast, if you'd love to join us, is remarkableresults.biz/live. Just a quick tip for all podcast app users. If your version is older than July 2017, go to your app store and update. A new user experience awaits you. This is a very powerful free app that brings every interview, including the Academy podcasts, to your fingertips. Go to remarkableresults.biz/app. Now, meet Tom Marks, MAAP, from the Marks Group and Hart Marks Advisors. Tom is the chairman and chief strategy officer for the Marks Group and is a partner in Hart Marks Advisors, which is a mergers and acquisitions consultancy that brings together buyers and sellers, as well as represents private equity firms and major international industry companies. The Marks Group is a full-service marketing communications agency that specializes in the automotive, performance, and trucking industry. Tom knows the aftermarket and the service professional. He'll be speaking at APEX 2017 on amplifying your brand. In the interview you're about to hear, Tom shares the value for the service professional to build a strong brand and what it means to the success of your company. We talk about industry consolidation from both the service and distribution sides, and you'll enjoy the conversation on training, marketing, the need for quality financial statements, and from Tom's experience and perspective, he says the service sector of the industry is in its golden age. Now, enjoy the wisdom of Tom Marks from the Marks Group and Hart Marks Advisors. Hey, warm welcome to Tom Marks, MAAP, the Chairman and Chief Strategy Officer of Marks Group, a full-service marketing communications agency that specializes in the automotive, performance, and trucking industries. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Carm. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. And you're also a partner in Hart Marks Advisors. Wow, you're a busy guy.
Yeah, I tend to be busy.
You know, Hart Marks is in the M&A business, mergers and acquisitions.
That is correct, which commonly in this world is seen as what's happening in the world of consolidation going on in the aftermarket.
I'm so glad we're going to talk about a lot of different things. And MAAP. I'm respectful of that, the Master Automotive Aftermarket Professional moniker, the certification. And the reason that I am is because I finally earned my AAP.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So anytime I could bump into a fella that has a, you know, something at the end of their name, I have to be so proud, because now that's my next goal as I continue in this great industry of ours to earn my MAAP. And how long ago did you get yours?
Well, it's a very funny story. I got my AAP 2 years ago at Apex. I got my MAAP last year. Frankly, I qualified for enough points probably 10 years ago, and I never filled out the application. Isn't that funny? So I missed all those years of having that wonderful title after my name. Whatever that's gotten me, I don't know, but there you go.
Okay, can I tell my funny story?
Absolutely.
I call University of the Aftermarket, and I say, how far away am I from my AAP? And they tell me 0.3 CEUs. So that weekend, I bought three classes that were each worth 0.1 CEUs.
I love it. Good for you.
Took them. And then I emailed it to Susan Woodcock, and I said, okay, what's this all mean? She goes, you'll get your certificate at Apex this year. I was all so proud.
I will be there to applaud you and root you on. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. So much going on in our great industry of ours. Give us a quick overview of the Marks Group.
Marks Group is now a 34-year-old marketing communications agency. We started off in the Porsche Dealers Association in Southern California, and then branched into the aftermarket. And since then, we've kind of developed an interesting portfolio of large and small clients, U.S.-based, some international. We do full-service marketing campaigns, from developing websites to lead generation to trade show marketing, do PR, you know, pretty much all full in-house. And now have a new office in Detroit, Bloomfield Hills. We opened up about 5 months ago, which is helping us work in the tier one and tier two areas, as well as the aftermarket, which has been our traditional specialty. So it's an exciting time.
It sounds like it. And I think the knowledge base that you have in helping us understand brands and helping us understand consolidations is going to be great. And that's why you're here. And that's why the audience is going to sit with bated breath listening to all these great things that we're going to talk about. You're going to speak at Apex this year, and I want to talk about that. But we also did an episode with Bobby Bassett and Ted Hughes from Mala. Bobby is with Gates, episode 114. And I would encourage everyone to go listen to it, because that was all about the Service EDU program. And I thought that was a fascinating go around the country, find training facility, and get the word out to the technicians. And how did that go?
You know, it went well. One of the challenges we had is getting enough people in the seats. So right now that program is on hold as we develop a new strategy. It's really challenging to find how to get techs to come to a training. And the techs seem to think that the training was really a puff piece or marketing piece for the trainers. And it wasn't at all. It was very general about certain systems in the vehicle and diagnostics and repair. And it was a challenge. So we're looking at how to be more attractive to the audience. And we'll probably relaunch that, I would imagine, probably in 2018.
It was a great episode to sit down with those guys. But, you know, when I saw Bobby Bassett on there, to me, he's like a keynoter. I love to listen to him. I've done two episodes with him. So Bobby Bassett is worth the price of admission to any Service EDU.
Well, you know, something we kind of thought so too. And one of the reasons we chose particular trainers, frankly, was because of their star power and their reputation in the industry as being really good trainers and very objective trainers. But, you know, it's a busy world we live in. Everybody's got their reasons for why they can't do something. So we'll figure it out. It's a great program and it'll be back.
You just said something big. Time. We're so time bound. We're so challenged today. But when I look around the world and I see Apex and I see Vision and I see Auto Mechanica and I see all the regional shows, there's a lot going on out there and there's a lot of participation. Do you see in working with brands any frustration from them in getting training out to the industry?
Well, you know, it's interesting you just mentioned Auto Mechanica. I was just at Auto Mechanica Chicago, you know, a few weeks ago. It was somewhat well attended, but it was very frustrating to the exhibitors who were there because they weren't seeing the volume of traffic they wanted to see. Next year, the show will be moved down to Atlanta for various reasons, and it'll be next year. So we'll see what happens in that market. So a couple of things that we observe here. One is, how do you get shop to let their techs go or the owners go during the middle of the week to an event? I think it is almost impossible. I can see maybe a Friday and Saturday, maybe a Sunday and Monday. that to expect techs in the shops to go to something middle of the week for a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday event, I just think it's never going to happen. They're too oriented towards taking care of their customers and the needs to make money in this challenging world we live in. So these events have got to be done at a time that's convenient for the shop. Probably the most convenient always, of course, is to go do it in the shop itself, but that's so difficult to do in today's world because the cost of doing that is just so prohibitive.
You're right, it is. And do you see that there is going to be an upsurge in the regional so that you can, you know, drive in instead of fly in, spend a Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
You know, this is an interesting dilemma between the personal touch versus what you can do online. Frankly, given the way the world is going, I think online is probably going to have to be the solution, just simply from a cost availability standpoint, and because that training can be delivered 24/7. So yes, I do think that there'll be more regional programs that'll happen rather than the large national shows. But by the same token, I really believe that the techs have got to get used to doing the online training, and the companies have to learn how to do online training in a way that is engaging.
Yeah, and that was my next question. You know, I could actually do a webinar one-on-one and watch it and learn and then take the test and qualify. But do you see, put your vision cap on, do you see a completely new interactive AR-type way of training?
Well, I think what you're going to see with artificial intelligence, I think you'll start to see that happening. It'll probably happen faster than you think. It's not going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years, but it will happen down the road. And especially with the millennials now, who are the ones who love technology and frankly would prefer that to that hands-on, you know, communication with people, they're going to be ripe to do this. So I think as you see more and more of that generation getting into the auto repair sector, which I believe will happen for various reasons, you'll start to see that kind of technology happen. The people have been in this industry for 15, 20, 25, 30 years. It's tough to get them to change their minds. I love the interaction that happens from the face-to-face, but we just have a really interesting issue about the practicality and the expense of delivering those kinds of programs.
Yep, you're so right about that. Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work, and you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree, vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of Guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus on the Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus On Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And when you need help with a technical issue, their bilingual ASE-certified Gurus On Call are ready to help. And this year, they're introducing the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program, which gets you points towards free gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. It costs nothing to join, and you could start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com, learn all about the Garage Gurus program, and start earning points today. Know why you install Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust? Every part that goes into a Felpro box is validated and approved by a Felpro engineer. Product testing and validation is an integral part of Felpro's engineering, manufacturing, and field testing, where vehicles undergo tests that log over 1 million miles every year. They also reach out to you, the pro, through technology blogs and their technical forums to listen, learn, and keep in touch with you. It's amazing to think that Felpro produces over 325,000 gaskets per day. That's 325,000 per day in their 1 million square foot facility in Skokie, Illinois. Under the same roof, engineering and manufacturing uphold Felpro quality utilizing 4,500 active production tools with tooling tolerances to 5 microns. Now that's smaller than a human hair. A tight tolerance like that ensures the sealing ability of Felpro gaskets. And their own in-house chem lab develops proprietary formulations like PermaDry Plus to produce 35,000 molded rubber sealing components every day. Plus, with Felpro, you get coverage from 1955 of 96% of all domestics and 93% of all import vehicles. So feel confident that with new engines and new technologies, Felpro will be there with innovative solutions to solve your customers' sealing problems. Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust. Go to felpro-only.com for more information. You're going to Apex this year. You're going to speak on amplifying your brand. And boy, there's been a lot of talk on the podcast, and a lot of very aggressive shop owners are really doing a lot. And some of them actually have rebranded themselves, and they've done the hard work, hired the agency, and made a change because they're looking to scale. I would love to attend your class and get some advice. Now, without stealing your thunder, you know, and obviously we can't do the entire seminar here, can you give us some of the key talking points as to why branding at the service professional level is so important?
You know, branding is simply a matter of how to get your public identity created consistently throughout whatever you do, and then reaching out to people so they can choose you and have you as their loyal shop. And really, the key is if you don't do that, you'll never have the Class A customers who are willing to spend the money without being consideration. Let's face it, when somebody comes, brings a vehicle to the store, the shop, they want to get the work done. They trust you in regards to what brand you're going to install in that vehicle. They trust you and how you're going to do that work. And they don't care, in most cases, what the brand is. They just want the work done once. They want it right, and they want it to last and be reliable. The loyalty that happens when you create a brand where people trust you, where they walk in the shop and the shop is clean, the restrooms are clean, people are wearing uniforms, there's a consistency in the story they tell people, there's a consistency how they test drive the vehicles, all of that stuff makes such a huge difference in the long run of your business. And so what we see is those A shops, as I call them, out there who've done this work are seeing their businesses boom, because right now, due to the lack of new people coming to the industry, existing shops are in an amazing position to make money and to grow, because people want to go to these shops. They don't want to go to a dealer. They're tired of the expense they have from the dealer. So there's just a massive opportunity. Leverage it. Leverage it by building a brand for yourself that really people can believe.
That's exciting news from you, because I know there's more and more shop owners hiring coaches, and they're looking more in depth at their financial position and are they doing everything right from that side. And boy, if they get to Apex and they listen to your piece, you know, there's a financial piece and there's a branding piece, and sounds exciting. Now, branding, you represent some major manufacturers in our industry. What are they doing to become a preferred brand to the service professional?
So this is an interesting challenge that faces here, because what's happened is with the direction of going to a two-step distribution model in most cases, what's happened is the brands, the suppliers find themselves kind of on the outside looking in, because really what goes on here, there's a first call, and that first call from the shop really goes to somebody, and the brand is whatever that particular distributor happens to carry. So it's a real simple situation, which is how does the brand go out there? So the brand has to have a public identity itself. It has to be in the media, digital and print. It has to be willing to send to the shop some point of sale materials that actually make sense and are usable to the shop. And they have to be willing to do seminars on their particular product and training. And there are some brands out there that do a fabulous job, Delphi being one of them, just to mention. They're not a client of mine, by the way, but I really respect what they're doing out there in the industry. Mahle is doing a great job of this as well, too, in their particular category. But the reality is that suppliers have had their budgets cut as well, too. I mean, the recession really changed their view about spending money on marketing. And I think that's a mistake, because what they're doing is they're losing out on the loyalty that happens from the shop about their particular brand. And it's critically important that that distributor's message about that brand gets into the shop. And there's multiple ways to do it, but there has to be an investment in time and money to have that happen.
And on top of everything, the sweet spot, the older cars are probably getting the quote-unquote second line.
They are, and that's why most of these suppliers do have to order a first line and a second line. Sometimes they order a good, better, and best line. And there's that edge there for the shop to be able to really explain to their owner of the vehicle what is the advantage and disadvantage of each one of those price tiers in performance, durability, warranty, et cetera. It's interesting. I had some brakes done on my BMW recently, and I trust the shop so much, Carm. I never asked them the brand, never asked them if they were OE, what they were doing for rotors. I didn't even ask. I got back and I thought to myself, this is interesting. This is me, a professional in this industry, who should be as attuned to what are they putting on my vehicle as anybody else. I trusted the shop.
That goes a long way to help our industry understand that building and enjoying trust from a customer is probably, you know, the Everest of a relationship.
And where did that come from? I brought the car in with a particular problem. I explained what it was. I got a call from the service advisor after they diagnosed it. They explained exactly what they thought needed to be happened. what it would be, what the cost would be when the car would be ready to pick up. I said, great, thank you very much. By the way, when I discovered the shop 2 years ago and I had brakes done on another vehicle, I had a long conversation about what brakes they're installing on that vehicle. You know, were they OE? For Mercedes at that time, which had a lot of dusting problems and aftermarket pads. Was it OE? Was it aftermarket? Was it aftermarket? What was the manufacturer? And they went through and said, well, this price here, this is what you're going to get. You can choose, Mr. Customer. What do you recommend? You know, we're pretty happy with what we're getting from that aftermarket supplier. So I went that way. I was happy.
Good. They know you're a discerning customer and that you want just the best and you want these particular features in a product. You know, you said something interesting about first call. Say, for example, I'm a shop owner and I know that my first call supplier has brand X. And I know my second call supplier has brand Y. Your job out there is to get either brand X or brand Y, depending on who you work for. Do you hear much about a shop owner that says, yeah, they're my second call, but I love their brand?
Where they'll hear that is feedback from the tech. The tech who's installed the second brand, the brand Y that you're talking about here, and says, I like it better because it fits better, seems like installs better, I'm happier with the performance, and then that will happen.
And that's what you work hard for when you work with the aftermarket manufacturers.
Correct. And that's what we try to get across is what is that brand message? What's that key value proposition that brand needs to get across so they become selected over somebody else's brand? That's the same situation for the shop, Carm. It's about why does that shop want it selected by that customer and referred by that customer to other people and more of their family vehicles coming into that shop? What is it that has to happen? It's all about that loyalty, all about the trust.
What's new on the horizon for branding at your level?
It's interesting. Podcasts, interesting one, that can reach a certain kind of marketplace. Finding ways to do training that does get across the brand through the local distributor. And I'd say probably digitization. There are ways to reach the shop now with digital branding that has never existed before. It may be annoying, but these little pop-up things you get in the corner of your screen. We basically have methods we can find you and follow you any place to be able to get that message to you. And you may be annoyed about it, but stop and think about the fun. Somebody's trying to get you a message. Maybe stop for a moment and take a look at it.
You know what's so interesting? I had chatted with an industry person who knows all about this detail stuff of which you just mentioned. And I'm not sure if it's called a pixeler or whatever that follows you or chases you. Now, they may not know you, who you are personally, your height, your weight, your anything, but they know what you like. And I was told that if your phone travels into a zone where there's a store from a product you had liked a few months ago, it will show you an ad for that nearby store or that store that you're walking into.
Yes, your smartphone will certainly do that. Yes, thank you very much. And we can thank technology for the ability to do that. Yes, and we all may hate it from time to time, but I can guarantee you, as much as I dislike it, I will get a pop-up message when I'm near a particular store, when I happen to be thinking about buying something, and it drags me like a magnet into that store. If I'm shopping at REI and I'm looking to buy some ski equipment or something like that, and I get, you know, one time, one purchase, 25% discount coupon, you think I'm going to do it.
But that's a good number. I mean, that's a number that would draw you in. I love what's going on here. Let's try it, you know, do an A-B test. Let's try 10. Let's try 15%. Let's try 25%.
Well, and I think the key to that is that what you need to be is relevant. Sending out junk messages is really foolish. You will turn off your... I can't tell you how many newsletters and blogs I've gotten off of and bought out of because I'd like to get something once every week, maybe once a month. I don't want daily messages from these people. And that's ridiculous. So remember, you have to be relevant. So if you're doing marketing and branding for your shop, be relevant to why you're doing this. Maybe it's about seasonality. Maybe it's about new windshield wipers during the coming into the fall season. Just be relevant.
I understand. I get it. I'm doing the same thing. I'm purging. Hartmark's advisors, M&A. Everywhere we look, every article we seem to read, there's something in it about someone buying someone or some consolidation going on somewhere. And here I'm a service professional and I'm reading all of this and I'm wondering if there's going to be anybody that I could buy from someday left. Now, I don't believe that would ever happen, but it sure almost has that flavor of, oh my God, you know, the fifth biggest buys the fourth biggest, and the fourth, and then the new fourth biggest buys the third biggest. You are a perfect person to kind of ask, where's all this going?
So we like to say that the consolidation, when it's effective, is what we call a virtuous cycle. What does that mean? What that means is it wouldn't be happening more and more if there was not value in it. So stop and look what's going on here. You've got investment companies, private equity, PE firms generally, that'll end up in buying somebody like an Advanced Auto Parts or somebody like that. Then they look to expand. And the only way they can expand is by growing, buying more businesses. They can expand what we call inorganically as compared to organically. Organically is defined as what you do by increasing business, by increasing sales of parts, getting more customers, increasing prices, et cetera. Inorganic is about acquisitions. And so what happens is these people who have invested money want to see a good, healthy 10 to 15% return on their investment. If you're growing a business only at 2 to 3% organically, you're never going to get there. So the only way that's going to continue to happen is to consolidate more businesses. So what's the net effect is? Net effect is fewer players in the industry. It's fewer distributors for suppliers to sell to, fewer distributors for shops to buy from. In many cases, there'll be fewer shops for the customers to make a decision on where to get their vehicles, which is why you're seeing some of the chains doing as well as they are in the quote I call the independent world. And it will continue to be that way as long as people are making money on these investments. And they are making money and they're making good money. Now, the downside to it, of course, is you have fewer choices in the industry who to do business with. That's one. Second of all, as control lands into the hands of more of the larger players, you will find prices become more stabilized, sometimes to your betterment, sometimes not. You'll see private labels come into place here when you really would prefer to get a branded product. Of course, you have to bear in mind that many times those private label products are made by the same brands that you think you're buying by the name of the brand, but they're in somebody's private label box. So it's hard to discern, but you don't know whether that's a good, better, or best quality. So the need to then start to understand what is actually in the box that you're buying becomes really critically important at the shop level and therefore to the actual vehicle owner level itself too. But this will not be slowing down. Yes, it does open an opportunity up for shops, those who are aging out and wish to sell. There are more and more opportunities for those people to sell to consolidators who are trying to consolidate and bring shops together. But it's the same thing we talked about. It's about the brand of your shop will increase the value of your business, the cleanliness of your shop, the quality of your financial statements, the reputation you have in the amongst your customers. All of this becomes so critical if you're exiting. It's also critical if you're buying, because if somebody you're buying sees you as a brand they respect, they'd be more willing to deal with you than somebody down the street who they don't respect.
You just said a mouthful. Over-distribution was something I had always thought that we had too much of. And you're saying that, you know, pruning the trees may not be bad.
What's happening is the weak players are falling along the wayside and the strong players are becoming more valuable. And the value to you as a shop having stronger distributors is the services they provide, the depth of products they provide, the ability to get you the product you want fast will expand. I mean, I'm seeing some of these distributors who have literally 200 vehicle fleets to get that product in your hands immediately so you can get that vehicle repaired and off the bay. That's amazing.
And good logistics. You know, the bigger you get, the more you can afford, the stronger warehousing efficiencies that you have. You're right. The stronger should get stronger and parlay all their new acquired distribution channels.
We work in adjacent industries, industrial, agricultural, marine, et cetera. Automotive is the only business that has this concept of get it to me in 20 minutes. Most everybody else is, I'll get it to you tomorrow. We live in a very, very unique industry. Do I believe that immediacy is abused? I do believe. But what's happened is that shops do not want to carry inventory of product unless it's something very key they use again and again. And how can you blame them with a parts proliferation out there? What do you carry? So it has to be up to the distributor to carry that product. Distributors, on the other hand, in many ways want that inventory at the supplier side. So it's an interesting change that's going on. Of course, now with technology being what it is now the ability to buy these products sometimes from eBay Motors and Amazon, you know, Rock Auto, USA Auto Parts, et cetera, that's changing the market as well, too.
We live in such an interesting time. And I think it's only going to get more interesting. You had mentioned financial, a good P&L. And so consider we're talking to the service professional here. Have you had a chance to look at many service professionals' P&Ls? And when you you just smiled. When you do, what kind of advice can you give me to help normalize?
You know, we have this, this saying that if you want to sell your business, start planning 3 years ahead of time. Why do we say that? Oh my gosh, what we see in the financial statements, what we see in inventory analysis, what we see in the documentation is frightening sometimes. Now, in today's world, especially, there are shop systems out there. There's even QuickBooks that can run your finances. It's so easy to stay on top, do a monthly financial statement, monthly cash flow statement, monthly inventory analysis, and review these things and clean it up. So if somebody came along to buy your business and you hand them 3 years of financial statements, which they'll ask for, you know, they'll ask for the current year and 3 years, final years, and they look at those and they get the story, their level of confidence is amazing. What happens if that does not happen is the buyer doesn't have confidence in what you're saying. And the moment they lack confidence, the value of your business decreases. Have those financials prepared. If you have to, there are organizations out in the industry that do this for shops. If you can't do it yourself, make the investment and do it.
Normalize was always the word that I learned. Let's find out what shouldn't be there and get rid of it. And, you know, it's no longer a hobby anymore, especially if you want to think about selling it.
Or bank financing or whatever you may need to do that are financially driven.
Great advice. Thank you so much. Lowest price. Interesting thought. When you work with in the M&A world, you're so knowledgeable on both sides of the industry. And as a marketer and a brand person like you are, do you find the trends changing that shops are not necessarily calling around 10 times to find the lowest price and then getting it and investing all that time in trying to, number one, improve their market or have a lower sell price?
I think that chasing low price business is a losing proposition, and you will never have a successful shop based on that model. I'm also not saying that you always have to sell the top name brand to every vehicle owner, because that's not realistic. You really have to put yourself into the shoes of the vehicle owner. If this is an 8, 9, 10-year-old or older vehicle, and find out what they're planning on doing this vehicle. What we've seen is if it's an 8-year-old vehicle and they're planning on keeping it for another 5 years, they may spend anything on them getting the right part. If it's an 8-year-old vehicle and they're going to sell it in a year and a half, they won't. Talk to your customer, know your customer, price accordingly. But what I would not do is chase the lowest price in either the parts you buy, the labor you offer, or what you end up putting on the ticket. It will not help you grow the business. It will not provide you the capital you need to buy equipment, hire the right people, and have the right environment for these techs to work in.
Any final words for the industry as you see it from your place, a strong, important place in the industry?
The service sector of this industry right now, Carm, is at its golden age. Less competition, more demand. The consumer has more money to spend on their vehicle. They respect why maintaining their vehicle is worthwhile to them. It's an enormous opportunity to be a successful shop in today's industry. We have challenges finding the techs, training them, keeping them, compensating them well, giving them the right benefits, the right health insurance policies. All of this is critical to finding the right people. But if you think about the results of that, you will see that the money that you'll make is going to far more be replaced by what you would have lost had you gone the other direction. So take advantage of this world we're living in. It's a great opportunity.
So true. It seems to me that I am interviewing really the top 10% in the industry, and we're getting their story told so that other people can hear it and get motivated by it and, you know, find their own personal network and educational stream with the podcast. But when I talk to some of the guys that are struggling, it's making that first step to get all that stuff done that they're afraid of.
I think what a shop owner really needs is to be willing to take a course on business management. Not saying shop management necessarily, business management. Understand how to run a business. Most of these shop owners have had no experience, prior experience in running a business. They don't understand the needs to have certain financial statements done. They don't understand the value of certain benefit programs. They understand the value of how you retain employees. So that's one step. And the second step is there's a tremendous amount of information out there in the industry now in training how to run a shop profitably too. Take advantage of that training. It's so important.
Hey, Tom Marks, Chairman and Chief Strategy Officer of Marks Group and partner in Hart Marks Advisors, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Arm, thanks very much. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Tom Marks, for your great insights into our beloved aftermarket. Great lessons here, and thanks for the examination on the aftermarket from a marketer and consolidator's perspective. The talking points and additional bio information on Tom Marks is on the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E257. Hey, thanks for listening to the Aftermarket's premier podcast. You know, you've been an asset helping many aftermarket professionals achieve their own remarkable results. I so appreciate when you share the episode URL, the insider email, any one of my social links to help benefit all aftermarket professionals. The podcast is for the entire industry, from service professional, technicians, distributors, jobber salespeople, business coaches, and manufacturers. The more we know about achieving success, the better it is for the entire industry. The way to improve our industry's image starts with every individual shop owner striving to be the most professional he or she can be. The podcast is a support tool for that, and you continue to help raise all ships. Talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.